Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, how are we doing?
Good. Fantastic. Slept more in probably the last 2 days, Metcalf, than I did the last 3 months. So I feel rare, unique, fantastic. How are you doing, sir? How are we holding up? Happy free agency to you.
Yeah.
Happy around the corner summer league to all.
Yeah.
Great time of the year.
Exciting time. Obviously, draft was last week. We'll be recapping that throughout the show. Plenty of time for that. But, you know, we're kind of in that weird period of, like, not quite summer league, not quite fully off season. We're still in that free agency transactional mode. But we also got, like, FIBA U19 World Cup going on, which has been a lot of fun. Well, I shouldn't say a lot of fun. It's there have been entertaining aspects and players in it. And then, you know, we got summer league coming up, which a handful of us will be out there. You won't, but I will. Corey will. Nathan and Nick will. Come say hi. We'll be around. Hit us up. We'll have plenty of coverage going on. So it's like, I know that the 2025 draft cycle is over, but that's the fun thing about the draft cycle. It never stops. There isn't a beginning and end date. It's just a circle. It just keeps going. And we're on to 26. We're going to have a lot of really fun coverage. Maxwell's No Stone Unturned is coming out throughout the summer. He's got a really fun list of guys set up for it. I'll be looking at some incoming freshmen, some breakout year stuff. It's going to be a busy summer. I mean, really, really excited.
Yeah, it's a nice time of the year right now to breathe a little bit, but we've got free agency going on. So that kind of all of a sudden he's like, hey, you got to still stay awake. But I'm right there with you. I'm watching some FIBA stuff because every year the itch gets quicker. I swear. Like the first 2 years, I was like, I don't want to talk or think about basketball for 2 months.
Last Friday, I spent my entire day basically just watching Darren Peterson high school film.
I saw you tweet Darren Peterson stuff, and I was like, you psychopath. Why are you doing this?
I got two games left, and then I got a big video project and a written piece for him. So I'm pumped. He's good.
I got so tired of sitting at my desk from the draft guy grind that like last night was the first night since the draft I sat at my desk. I was like disgusted looking at it.
So, smart.
Yeah. Peterson is awesome. If anyone hasn't watched U19 stuff right now, Mykel Brown is a bad, bad man. He's my guy. I love him.
Plenty coming on him too.
So yeah, we'll have plenty about that. But, I don't want to go too down that rabbit hole. So go ahead.
Yeah, we'll circle back with that in the coming weeks. Don't want to dive too far into free agency because I'm sure we'll have some offseason grades and all of that stuff once rosters get a little more finalized and we have a bigger picture and we can get some summer league thoughts in there too. But any initial thoughts, reactions, likes, dislikes, anything on free agency so far?
No, I mean, yeah, it's tough. You're definitely seeing the lack of buzz and excitement. I feel like you're definitely seeing like, okay, the second apron's really hitting hard now to the excitement level for free agency. That's why I believe they're going to have to eventually change this and scrap it up. Cause it's like, this is one of the most exciting weeks in the NBA. And right now it just feels like it has a lack of buzz right now. Really? And like, we're getting pumped up about, you know, Tim Hardaway moves to be a 1 year deal with, you know, the Nuggets and stuff like that. He went to the Nuggets, right? Like, that's my point. Yeah. It's just like,
I feel like a lot of that just have to do with who is due to be a free agent.
Right. And I think you're also seeing teams are getting creative now. That's the cooler part I've noticed is teams are getting really creative to figure some stuff out. So I get like why some people are like, hey, the doesn't seem as fun as from a GM mindset of me. I'm like, this is really cool. How you could see some front offices are like, well, we'll get around it this way. We'll do it this way. And then everyone's going to start being like, they're onto something. So I don't know. I love it, Metcalf, because you start to see who cares about the CBA and who goes, let me find the loopholes around the CBA. Let me find another route around this. So I like it. I geek out on this stuff.
Yeah, it's fun. And I do think the second apron, obviously, the apron penalties obviously have to factor in a lot. And I think it's trending more and more teams and players to just being like, oh, crap, I can get 3 to 4 years like just resigning and 100 mil. Like, I kind of wanted 130, but let's take what we can get. And I still can't believe the players signed that. Wild. wild decisions. But we got plenty to talk about on this episode. We're going to run through some of our favorite draft hauls by team. We're going to then dive into some draft superlative awards, and then we're going to wrap up with the stock. So before we dive into that, let's take just a real quick break.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Okay, Rucker, let's start out with some of our favorite draft hauls by team. I'm typically a gentleman.
You start it.
That's the old me. You know what? I'm turning a new leaf. I'm being more selfish.
new year, new me.
Yeah, exactly. And mainly, I want to kick it off with this team because we've spent a lot of time over the last couple of years kind of crapping on the organization and the fan base and some of their players. I adore what the Charlotte Hornets did in this draft, taking Con Knipple at 4, Liam McNeely at 29, Sion James at 33, and Ryan Kalkbrenner at 34. I thought home run, incredible draft.
So for everyone listening, we have awards we're going to give to every team, but you want to just talk about like your favorite teams first, and then we'll do our fun superlatives.
Yeah. We'll talk about the kind of draft at large.
No, I like this better. Yeah. I couldn't be more pumped for Hornets fans. Now that is how you draft. I'm right there with you. It was one of my favorite drafts. Every pick seemed to like balance the other pick really well. Like I loved that you got shooting in basketball IQ with McNeely and Knipple. You get Sion James in the second round as your toughness, your backcourt depth, some defensive versatility, a good role player, a good rotation piece. Then you get Kalkbrenner as your size and another good defense. It was toughness. It's shooting. It's guys that are going to stick on this roster. It's guys that are going to make up the culture. Like this is a draft where Hornets fans should be very, very pumped about your front office. Like last year, I always give the first year front office first draft. Like here's your medical red shirt year. Like let's just you're getting your feet wet. You're probably all over the place. Let's give you one rookie run through, and then now you need to show what you can do. And I thought this second draft was a home run. I thought they did a perfect job of getting their guy early, letting the board fall to them. They made that great trade for Mark Williams. I mean, they traded Mark Williams to get that pick to get McNeely. So I think it's just a great job of seeing value and saying, screw it, let's take it. We'll figure it all out later. But awesome drafts.
Yeah, and especially coming off a year where they kind of set the tone of, hey, we're home run swinging. We're taking big cuts at these guys. We're not afraid of risk. We're looking for lottery tickets. And they took one of the biggest lottery tickets in last year's draft. And this year they're like, you know what we couldn't do? Make a shot all year. So let's go get two of the best off-ball shooters in this class, along with one of the most experienced perimeter defenders, along with one of the most experienced rim protectors. I thought they filled need while also bringing in upside and high character guys who are able to fit in a lot of different situations. Con and Liam are awesome off-ball shooters, but they're also really good passers, smart defenders, good rebounders. They can attack closeouts, throw lobs. You know, Ryan Kalkbrenner should feast on lobs with the Hornets. I thought it was a perfect tightrope of drafting measured upside while really filling some significant needs.
And I like when a team recognizes of like, hey, we took DeJane last year. That is our massive swing, which, like, when you took that swing, you're saying we're going to wait 3 years to reevaluate and then kind of go from here. But, like, I love when a team's response to the big swing is, now let's balance the big swing. Let's balance that with safer guys, those guys that we know can come in right away and help us in a certain area. So, like, now you take some pressure off the Tijane pick because you have all of these other pieces around him that could make life easier. Like, I think in a dream world, you could have McNeely, Knipple, Brandon Miller on in crunch time together. Like, you could be playing with all those guys. You know, maybe McNeely's a small ball four or something in a perfect world. But I loved it. I thought when they got Khan and McNeely, I was like, this is a fantastic draft already for them.
Yeah.
And then when they get Kalkbrenner and Sion, I was like, perfect. There's your identity builders. Now you get toughness, you get size. That's great. So I really like what they're doing. I think this is a great step for the Hornets.
All right. Who's your first one?
That was my first one. Gosh, my calf.
Look at that.
No, you know what? It hurts because I have a lot of these teams and my superlatives that are going to make some fans laugh. But man, the Spurs, what a draft.
Yep, they're on my list too. Yeah.
I thought I got fooled this year, Metcalf. I have to admit it. It takes a big man to admit he was wrong. I got stooped and thought that the Spurs also got Cam Jones in the second round. I tweeted about it on the night of the draft because I was all over the place. And then people were like, hey, it's going to the Pacers. It's going to the Pacers. It's going to the Pacers.
Impossible to track.
And I'm like, screw you, ESPN. You got me again. So regardless of that, Dylan Harper at 2, Carter Bryant at 14. No notes. Perfect. We're going to look back at this draft in years and be like, what a draft the Spurs had.
Yeah. I still think the Dylan Harper fits a little clunky, but it's like, all right, he's by far the best player available. You're not going to be, you're not expecting to pick at 2 for the next 20 years. You take the swing and you figure it out later. The talent figures it out. And then just sitting there at 14 and having Carter Bryant fall into your lap. You know, I did a video breakdown over at the No Ceilings YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button while you're there. On why Carter Bryant's like a perfect fit for the Spurs team with his defensive versatility, fits in exactly with what they need and how they defend. You have him paired with the other kind of established defenders with Steph Castle, Devin Vassell, Wemby, Sohan. That's a lot of defensive versatility, length, athleticism. They're going to be a nuisance to score on. And then just his off-ball, low-maintenance offensive capabilities as a spot-up shooter, really good cutter, awesome rebounder. And then there's some really exciting connective passing stuff with him too. So being able to just sit there at 14 and have a guy that I would have taken in the top 10 and have him be a perfect fit, fall into your lap, just chef's kiss, perfect draft.
Right there with you. A lot of teams, for anyone that hasn't seen this, a lot of teams are having like you're doing your practices right before, because we got California Classic for Summer League. We've got Salt Lake City Classic coming up for right before Vegas. So, and those always are fun because they sneak up on everyone and it's like, oh gosh, it's starting tomorrow. Carter and the Spurs had some practices and then they had their media day. Carter Bryant today said, everybody wants to score the ball. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Sorry, folks. Everybody wants to score the ball, but how do I separate myself and get on the floor? I think it's defense. Yeah. And he just talked about how he wants to be able to guard multiple positions, know everybody's tendencies on their side. And I was like, that's a freshman that was just at Arizona that has one of the best answers ever. And he also talked about, like, he got to the Spurs facility and just looked around and was like, oh, that's Coach Popovich. That's Timmy D. That's Manu. And he's like, I'm geeking out because my childhood's right in front of my face. And I'm like, oh my gosh, look at all this. So it was cool hearing him say that, but you see why teams were so high on his character, his interviews. Cause he just, like, it's like Tatum when he first got into the league, just so mature for his age. I just think that was an absolute haul. When I think I stepped away for a second and then came back and I was like, Carter Bryant went to the Spurs. You gotta be kidding me. So it's big one for them. Big, big one.
Okay. My next? I had Spurs on my list. So this might be a very quick segment. but the last one on my list was another team who, you know, we've had our made our jokes of, and their first pick was a prospect that we've had questions about, but I love where they got him. I love his fit on the team. I thought the Phoenix Suns had a hell of a draft.
I did too.
I was not expecting this from them. You caught me off guard, Phoenix. I wasn't aware with your game.
Wasn't familiar with your team.
But come on, Malawach at 10, Rashear Fleming at 31, Kobe Bray at 41. What's not to love? I didn't love the come on Malawach top six talks. Once you get into that 8 to 11 range, love it. Makes a lot of sense. And that team desperately needed a center. And the fact that they brought in Mark Williams, I think, is interesting. He's really got to turn it around on the defensive end. But I think that's a nice little kind of fire and ice combination where Malawach doesn't have to start right away if he's not ready. He can come off the bench. He can be put in that situation. And I think he's the type of guy who I also happen to do a video breakdown on that can really be the long-term anchor and cornerstone of the defense. Just the more and more of the defense that you watch, the more you get impressed with it. And there's the highs are really, really freaking high. I still don't buy a lot of the offensive upside, but if the defense is going to be that good and the hip mobility continues to improve and the footwork continues to improve and he gets a little quicker off the ground, it's scary. And now you're putting his defensive and rim protection capabilities alongside Ryan Dunn and alongside Rashear Fleming. You want to talk about length and athleticism and defensive impact. That's where it gets terrifying.
I got a text after like the second round from one of my boys. That's a diehard Suns fan. And he was like, Brian Gregory, maybe he doesn't suck. I was like, he's cooking right now.
He had a day, and they were busy. They were moving over the place. They're moving up. They're moving down. They're bringing in.
It was awesome.
It was
the second round was the leading. That's why day two is awesome. That's why this new format's awesome, because we got to see a team that targeted their like, we got to get up here, and they worked their butt off all morning to get up to 31. They made like two or three trades, but when everyone thinks I'm the Malawach hater. I've also heard five different Malawach pronunciations since ESPN's draft coverage started. So that was great. Ever since when I was like, everyone thinks I'm the hater for Malawach. I'm like, no, that's not true. I would have loved to have taken him 10 to 14. Like, that's the range. He goes 10th. Great. They make that trade for Mark Williams. I was like, yes, this is perfect, because you're not throwing him into the fire right away. You get Mark Williams. Bring on this raw big man. Just give him some confidence. I love what they did. Then they got Rashear. Like, this is what you do to start building some stuff. Yes, they have all these guards, but you get Kobe Brea, who's going to play in the league for a long time and be a great specialist. This is how you build a roster. Yeah. This is how you do it. Like, and people are like, hey, they have all these. No, you need pieces on the roster. You need guys. They've made some sneaky good free agent moves. I thought they had a great draft. I thought this was fantastic for Suns fans. Like, this is how you start to build, you know, a foundation, and you start to slowly take those steps forward. You get excited now because you have a big man that really has fun upside. You got him in a great spot.
And their pieces that really complement Devin Booker, who they're still obviously continuing to build around. It'd be nice if they got a point guard ever, but you deal with that when it comes. All right. Who is next on yours?
Did they have another? I'm sorry. I'm just. Oh no. They traded. They traded Tui, and then they got Brea back. Okay. You know what? I have to give a shout out to. I'm not just saying this, Metcalf. This is one of my favorites. Utah Jazz.
Interesting. Okay.
I love them. Did you not like their draft?
Let's
get a little angry at each other. This is great.
No, I didn't hate it.
Fantastic. Well, for everyone they got Ace Bailey and Walter Clayton, which are two of my favorite guys.
It's more so a lot of the decisions that have come after that in free agency and overall team.
We're talking about the draft.
I know. Okay. I know. But
here's my thing with, I don't know who they're going to stop, but man, they're going to score a lot.
Are they? where they could take a lot of inefficient shots.
Okay, first of all, here's what we're going to talk about real quick. You can't talk to me about how Ace Bailey is the greatest throughout the whole year, and then now you're going on the inefficient
shot. No. The what I said about him all year was he is an awesome off-ball scorer, and he needs someone to set the table for him. He needs vets around him. What do they not have? Any vets or anyone to set the table.
Okay, yes, I'm on that page with you. We're talking about the draft, though, right now. I need a vet. They're going to do some weird move where they're going to trade for a vet on a salary dump like a month before the season.
They'll be pumped to be there.
No, they'll be super pumped. Salt Lake City's beautiful. I'm just saying, I like... You got Ace Bailey at 5. Let's throw this media circus behind us. You get Ace Bailey at 5. You get a heck of a basketball player at 5.
Totally agree.
You get one of the best talents and upside players at 5. I don't care about the shot selection army that's going to... I watched the rest of the team when he was off the floor. I would have shot that much. Their disaster numbers, assists per game, when he's on... I've done the shot chart. When he's off the court, it's disgusting. No offense to the Rutgers guys. Getting one of the highest upside guys, one of the most special talents at 5 is a win, no matter what. Then you get, and he is what the team needs. The team needs a fucking guy that's a bucket.
Yeah.
They have a lot of these guys where it's like, well, maybe, you know, Keontae's great. I like Keontae. Still questions. You just need a guy with some superstar upside, and that's Ace. And then I think Clayton could be unreal from this class. I really do, but they need someone to set the table still. I know Clayton can get buckets, but they need someone to come into there and say, I'm going to put everyone in position. So I don't know. I liked it from where they were with that second first round pick. It seemed like the talent was kind of dropping pretty quick, and I liked Clayton more than the other guys, the other guards that were on the board still.
Yeah, and I think it was a you know, if Clayton was their guy, you know, I still would have taken Kasperis there, but whatever. But
right.
A lot of the intel is pointing towards Miami taking Clayton at 20. And instead they let Kasperis fall into their lap. But if Clayton was their guy, that is a really smart move to jump up to 18 and sneak right ahead of Miami there. I still like the Ace swing. I just worry about the team in general. In a vacuum, though, the players themselves, I love the talent, love the upside. I think they were really smart picks. My concerns are more so outside of the draft.
Yeah, I get it. Free agency is a long one. We're going to have to see what's going on. Yeah, and I weirdly am getting very impatient with Lauri Markkanen. Like, okay, well, we're either going to do this or we're going to just keep him and put his number up in the Raptors. I feel like every offseason's a little, hey, Lauri might get traded. It's okay. Figure it out. Turner was going to get traded for 15 years, too, and then he just signed with the Bucks. So,
and then they got a table setter in Tyrese Haliburton. Weird. almost like those guys are important. Before we move on real quick, shout out Cullen in the chat. He's been asking a handful of times.
Cullen, you're going to get your Pelicans moment. I promise, buddy.
You want to talk about him now?
Let's do our superlatives. I have plenty of Pelican moments. They're not going to be great, but they're going to be fun.
All right, let's take our last ad break. Then we'll jump over to the superlatives. There it is.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Okay, Rucker. You hinted that you have a Pelicans one.
Well, let's go in order. We don't have to go out of order, but I know Colin's excited in the chat. So what do you want to do? You want to just go one by one?
Yeah.
Give me one of your superlatives.
Alternate.
Give me one of yours. Oh, got mine on the split screen. Wow, this is working out nice. Okay, good, good.
All right. So my first one is the Bill Simmons. award that goes to Hanson Yang going 16 to the Portland Trail Blazers. For any of those who are like, what in the fuck was that soundbite? That was Bill Simmons going, wow! After Anthony Bennett went first overall. That was the exact same reaction I had when Portland took Hanson Yang at 16.
Okay, so I had the Blazers too in one of my superlatives, but could I read off what mine was?
Of course.
I called it the Shams tweeted it, and I don't believe it. Wait, Adam Silver also announced it. Are we sure this is an AI?
Did Shams get hacked again?
Luka Doncic, Shams get hacked again. The funny thing is, like, I know we're trying to focus on just the draft here, but then after they buy out Ayton, I was like, okay, wait, I might love the Hanson Yang pick. This might be the best pick they've ever made. The Blazers did tweet it out his workout
of video,
Metcalf, and it looked our nice.
PR chef earning nice. Their money. Of course it did.
He was throwing dimes left and right, pocket passes. It was nice.
They include the two blocks he had all year too. His only two defensive plays.
We're in post Yang selection dark place where I'm seeing Klingon Yang comparisons on the timeline. I like it. It just was like, man, that's early. That's a good one though.
And it's you go get your guy. You trust your scouts, you trust your process, and you trust your eval, and you go get your guy. Wouldn't have been what I did, but I'm not running the Portland Trailblazers. And we had heard going up into the draft that Brooklyn was going to take him at 36. So, you know, I saw a lot of people did.
That's so, the one thing, immediate phone call, Yang, 36. I was like, okay. Which means
I saw a lot of people being like, why didn't they trade back again and again? Like, they could have gotten him at 30. It's like, well, if they knew that Brooklyn was going to take him there, maybe they're like, oh man, what if they just say fuck it and swing at 19 instead? And they went back a few spots, got a future asset, and took their guy. So I think especially with how many picks Brooklyn had, you didn't really know what they were going to do. And if they were just going to be like, screw it, we're taking him now, we're not waiting until 36, we're a little afraid, we're getting some hints here and there of other teams getting interested in him, then, you know, Portland made the right move.
I think you're spot on. I really do think that's what it was. I think I've heard some things, but I'm not going to speculate. But I think if you have a guy that you're in love with, mm-hmm. and a team you think is going to take him is right behind you, like with multiple picks, you're probably like, are we going to try to get cute with this and lose our guy just to move back four spots, five spots? And I think Portland just said, screw it. Like, did they got a big first round pick in that trade, right? To move back that far.
Yeah.
I swear someone was like, look, the Yang pick was so big, we forgot they got a first.
Yeah.
In the trade. And I was like, that's a great point.
I believe it was one of the first that Memphis got from Orlando.
That's right. So
I'm not sure which one.
Yeah, I'll get someone to fact check it after the episode. But I understand why you're just like, what are we doing here? Let's get our guy. Because if everyone thinks one team's taking him, that team knows then that everyone thinks you're taking him. So they're probably saying, like, look, we have it that we're going to take him at 36. We're really trying to take him at 22.
Yeah.
They acquired another first. So Portland might've been like, you know, we're just playing devil's advocate here. So when in doubt, go get your guy. I'm a big believer. Go get your guy. Portland did it. Let's see how it works out.
Yeah. All right. What do you got?
I have a two-parter.
Okay.
For one team. I have the wow, what a haul. Let's see what they had to trade. This is the New Orleans Pelicans. And then I have, oh my gosh, our pets' heads are falling off. The first part is because you look at the draft night haul and it's one of my favorites. You get Jeremiah Fears and Derek Queen, and I'm like, hell yeah, let's party. Then you see what you paid to get Derek Queen, and you're like, oh no. Now, we had Colin in the chat really pumping some Pelicans talk. So let's get positive here for a second, Metcalf. Did you have them for any of your superlatives?
they're an honorable mention for, but I'll get to it. They just missed out on winning it.
Now, I want to spin this in a positive way.
I'm excited to see you try.
I am too. Let's say we're in the Pelicans war room together. Hypothetically, we've got Fears and Derek Queen 4 and 5 on our board.
Mm-hmm.
And we get Fears.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still like, oh my gosh, Queen. Like, we love Queen. He's great, fantastic in our workout, everything. We love Queen. We're convinced he's going to be a star. Would you have traded that pick to go up and be like, what if you got both of them?
No.
What if you hit 2 stars?
No.
You know what I'm trying to say?
No.
Think of 2 of your favorite prospects you've ever had as an evaluator. Denny and Halliburton. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, if I'm trying to buy into the mentality of, like, 2 of your favorite prospects ever.
Yeah, you still don't give up.
I can't give up that pick.
You can't give up an unprotected first rounder next year on a team that has already so many questions surrounding
it. Why wasn't it top 5 protected?
Why wasn't it top 10? Anything. 2.
Can I
top
also
3. Like, at we this know point, could I three incredible, like, truly elite. Now maybe 4 given Michael Brown's emergence. That these guys are, like, people have been salivating over these guys for years in AJ DeBonsa, Cam Boozer, Darren Peterson. Like, we've known that these guys are incredible. And the last 2 years, we've seen teams jump up from late in the lottery to the first fucking pick.
I have to give my other superlative. This is also, like, part C of this one is our war room can't be shown on camera because we are ripping tequila shots. And that's the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
Atlanta's having an off season. This might be the year of the Hawk. I mean, let's just talk about this. So the Pelicans, what are they doing that trade? I still love Fears and Queen, but, like, the 26 unprotected is going to be the top 6 pick. Unless they get freakish years from 2 of the toughest positions to transition to in basketball.
Yeah. Because, look, I love,
and they're all Jeremiah healthy.
I love Jeremiah Fears. He is going, I think he's going to be a really bad rookie because he's smaller. And, you know, more
because so, every point guard so
exactly, and he is really bad on defense right now. All rookie point guards, 99.9999% of rookie point guards are bad. He's gonna be bad, but then to compound that with Derek Queen, who I don't think can guard anyone at an NBA level, they're gonna give up a million points.
I don't know if you're thinking they're putting Missy
$1 billion.
Yeah.
But you can't play Queen and Missy together right now.
No, can't.
And I'm at least this year, like, I'm optimistic about Queen's shot long term. I think he has decent touch. The mechanics are funky, and, you know, some people around him even view it at, we're a little more adamant that it's a long term project. But it's like, okay, I'm still kind of optimistic about it. But you can't play them next
now,
year.
I want to bring in the Atlanta Hawks part of this. Because this is unbelievable. You don't even get this stuff in 2K when you're trying to trade a pick. Atlanta's having an unbelievable offseason. The roster is fantastic right now. Atlanta got the guy they wanted at 13, and I heard they wanted him there.
At 23.
At 20. It was at 22, 23. Who cares?
They trade back in.
23. And they got a pick unprotected in one of the most star-heavy drafts we're probably going to get in maybe the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Atlanta could have this roster with a top 3 pick next year.
Yeah.
No offense, Pelicans fans. But, like, I'm just being realistic. Like, we don't know what's going to happen with Zion. You drafted 2 rookies. they're not going to come in and just be all NBA guys.
Right. And it's like, I love Herb Jones. I love him. I love Trey Murphy. The leap he took last year was incredible. I was so pleasantly surprised with the East Missy rookie year. But those are like steps in the right direction. Now you still have a major unknown at point guard. You bring in Jordan Poole. Like, he had a good year last year with Washington, but I don't think he's going to fix all of that. Zion's a total wild card. I don't get the process. And then to bring in two of the worst defenders in this entire class while giving up next.
Excuse me. Also, in the middle of the Western fucking conference.
Right. That's the thing. Like, who does this?
This isn't in the East.
Who did they even get close to being better than? Exactly.
Sacramento?
No.
Not after the Schroeder free agent acquisition. Now Sacramento's back.
Sabonis is going to feast against them.
Think about all the bigs that they're like, hey, Derek Queen, welcome to the NBA. Good luck with the West bigs now.
Yeah. And it's like, all right, do you think he's going to scale down to be a four? Okay, cool. I would love to be optimistic because there were a lot of flashes of him moving his feet well in space. But that's a massive body transformation that's going to have to come. And that usually comes, that's going to take a couple of years. It's also going to have to come with a major shooting development. It's like, all right, well, okay, that's more long-term thing. It's like, all right, cool. Now is he going to play the five? Awesome. His execution of defensive game plans was all over the place last year, and he's not a primary rim protector, and the execution and effort level wasn't there consistently. So you just got hemorrhage points then?
Yeah, it's ugly.
Baffling.
I can't believe Atlanta's that war room had to be good. Like, I don't think that war room slept. They probably felt like they all went to Vegas and like hit 20 red. They were probably like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest day ever. Anyways, I don't want to go too far down on trend. Go ahead.
Well, but hey, on the bright side, at least they got Hunter Dickinson on a two way. So
I wanted to use 47 different memes on the line when I saw that. I was like, you sons of... Well, that's why they traded the unprotected first, is because they feel like they hit gold there too. So
double machine. Okay, let's move on. Sorry,
Colin.
I like all the pieces. I like the pieces. I just don't think any of them go together. All right.
I just thought Queen could have been on the board for a while. So that's why I was like, an unprotected, it's not like you're trading up to nine.
Yeah.
I was like, he might go for a little tumble here. Just be patient. Go ahead. You're up, I think.
Okay. My next one is...
So hot right now. Hansel.
The Hansel so hot right now. Hansel award goes to Cedric Coward, going 11 to Memphis. This man went from D3 a couple years ago to being the 11th pick in the NBA draft. It doesn't get much hotter than that. And to see that meteoric rise through the combine, through the pre-draft process, and have a team trade up for him, and a team that I think he fits incredibly well on and fills a major need and fits exactly the type of player that they go after, absolutely loved it.
That's a good one. I forgot all of my best superlatives were like, I had to scroll way up to find them. So now I'm back. Coward to Memphis, sensational. Great. Perfect. Perfect.
Like, I don't know what else there is to say. He's an elite shooter, 7'2 wingspan. I think there's more defensive upside there.
And then Javon Small in the second round, right?
Yeah.
No notes. Great draft. They're back.
And they brought in Ty Jerome and Scottie Pippen Jr.
Did you see Triple J got hurt today?
Yeah, of course he did. Because
the ink hasn't even gotten dry yet, and he got hurt. Like,
all right. Well, yeah, no. You know what happened is he hurt himself the day before. And then
100%.
And then I was like, hey, we're going to hold off on going to the doctor or reporting this for 48 hours.
Jaren, how'd you do it? No, you didn't.
That jet ski? You were never on a jet ski.
You were not. You were playing basketball. Today
you were training, you were getting better, you're honing your craft.
Oh man,
just the timing is brutal.
I hope it's only a couple weeks.
I saw it's like a procedure though, so hopefully it's not as serious as what Darius Garland had. Because that's gonna go a couple months. So
positive. Okay,
I'm really hoping really hoping that it's not that bad.
I brought up earlier, but I'll just say it again. My San Antonio Spurs superlative was the Will Hunting. Do you have any idea how easy this is for me? Was the Spurs draft. So good Will Hunting. I had to give a shout out there. And then my Hornets one was the Happy Gilmore. Happy learned how to putt. So that was the Charlotte Hornets. So I felt good about those. Yep.
Felt good. Like those a lot. Yeah. My next one is the...
I love that you went and got audio clips. This is fantastic.
Okay, so this one kind of surprises me because I thought I was not going to be alone here. I thought this was going to be consensus across the draft world. But there are a lot of people who are like, oh, man, I don't know what the Heat are doing. It's like they're taking a top 10 guard at 20 without moving. I love the fit. I love the player. I love the upside. I love everything about that pick. I thought they hit that out of the park, and to have your heart broken with Utah jumping up and taking Clayton right ahead of you just to like immediately get over it and have Kasperis Jakusonis just sitting there waving at you being like, hi, couldn't ask for a better draft for them.
Couldn't ask for a better one. I thought it was a slam dunk. They're also, I'm trying to pull it up right now. Teams get sneaky with sneaking these summer league rosters out. Their summer league roster is going to be very, very fun.
Well, I really like that they grabbed Vlad Goldin too, as a
play.
Really nice fit. Kind of like a Khalil Ware light type of guy, but always healthy. It's since I think it was since his sophomore year, he's played in and started every single game of the season. Not bad for a 7-footer.
Availability. Sometimes that's fantastic. I mean, they've got Keyshawn Johnson, Kasperis, Goldin. Where is on the summer league roster? Which I was like,
I feel like that's like a one or two game thing.
Might be. I have an annual. I don't know if people know this. Everybody's talking about it. I have an annual too good for summer league nominations. I think I'm brainstorming with the scientists in the lab right now. This year's nominations. I think Khalil Ware is going to be at the top, but he's going to be near the top. There's a couple names every year that I'm like, what are you doing here? Are you just practicing with the team? Like,
are the Spurs making Steph Castle go?
He was practicing without being, he was at the facility practicing without being on the roster. And I was like, of course he is. Cause he's perfect. I love where Kasperis went. I think that's a steal. We're going to look back and be like, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
I really do feel that way. So, number 25. Good vibes. I feel like that's a good vibes for Kasperis.
Oh, I like that.
We just realized that. Good vibes. They changed their numbers after summer league. I mean, like Tatum was a different number. Oh, he was maybe 11. For like his first summer league game, and they changed. And I was like, thank goodness for that.
How dare you? 11's the best number.
Easy.
I will fight you over that.
I'm a big number five guy.
Trash. So,
which Nate Clifford's number five, which I was like, of course you are, because you're perfect. What else you got?
You're up.
Speaking of, I did no one is talking about them, and they had a really good draft, the Sacramento Kings. Traded in, got Nate Clifford, and then in the second round, they got Maxime Raynaud.
Yeah,
that's a really solid draft.
Nice grabs.
So we can move on. We can move forward. Regulator in the comments. I have one for the Celtics, but Boston superlative. Nobody puts Hugo in the corner. That's a great one. I really like that. So Metcalf, you're up.
Oh God, but Boston's going to. God damn it.
No, here, you want me to go? I have another one. That's
perfect. I got two more.
Okay. I'm excited.
No, if you have one related, go for it.
Okay, I have. This one's three teams. I have the team that actually might play an international guy and actually let him become a good player, actually. I meant to say actually that many times. I put the Celtics, the Timberwolves, and the Milwaukee Bucks with Draft and Bogey in the second round. I think they're going to actually be smart about it. I can't stand the stash guys we'll never see, and I think all the guys on those teams are going to play.
I hope so. I think all three should.
Yeah,
I'd be really surprised if Behringer can't get minutes, but then again, I thought Dillingham was going to get minutes this year. And
well, who's your backup big right now?
Julius Behringer.
By the way, congrats. But to send you a nice Christmas ham for the Julius Randle extension.
It's a good number.
I think he's perfect.
300 with a player.
It's also him and Finch. Yeah, like Finch is probably like, I know he's how awesome. To get this guy.
He's awesome this year. And they have like any sense of continuity going into next year. I'm more than okay with it.
I'm a big believer of when you get the coach that got the best year out of the guy of like, just stay here. Stay like his agent's probably like, we don't need to go anywhere else. Just stay here. We're fine. We'll have a nice career in Minnesota with Chris. Go ahead with what you thought.
Okay.
Behringer, you had a great video on YouTube.
Oh, well, thank you. I love Behringer. And I know they were very excited about him. They did not think he was going to be there. So that was a pleasant surprise in their draft room.
I'm pumped about Ugo in Boston. Yeah, he'll be fun. Very, very pumped. I'm back to watch some of his stuff. And I'm just like, he's probably perfect for Joe Mazzulla because Ugo's just a madman as well. So
are they gonna like let him initiate anything, you think?
I think so.
He can't shoot really. And I don't think it's broken
by you know what Stevens in his press conference, you're gonna love this. Stevens in his press conference just kept bringing up his cutting ability.
God, talk dirty to me, Brad.
he was just like, he's really tough, he's fantastic as a cutter off the ball. And I was like, that's when I know Stevens is so good as a GM, because it's like you read your team and be like, where are we weak? And I'm like, the Celtics just stand around and watch a lot of time. And that's where Ugo thrives. It's like, well, he cuts, he's active, he's motors always in overdrive. So I think they're going to let him do a little bit of everything. I don't think they're going to make him an off-ball guy like Real Madrid did. I think they're going to let him fly. But I don't know if it's going to be right away or if they're going to go, hey, Maine needs a lot of reps this year from you. Which is fine.
Which might not be a bad thing.
No, it might be great for him.
Okay, my next one is the Tarek Bibirovich.
Who are you?
The Tarek Bibirovich, who are you, award goes to Talon Peter from Liberty, going 54 to the Pacers. And this is a guy who I bet 99.9% of people had no clue of, but huge win for the advanced analytics community. His numbers are bonkers. It takes kind of fun, but 45.8% from three on 12.5 attempts per 100 possessions, 71.5 true shooting percentage, 72.8 effective field goal rate with 21 dunks, does almost nothing else. But the guy is an insane scorer and shooter but like when that name popped up, it's like, oh my god.
I was like sort of dreaming. I was like, can we just somehow have like every guy from the No Ceilings draft guide get drafted? And then that name came up and I was like, mother. It's just like, son of a. And then shout out Sam Asidi, I think he even posted a tweet like, definitely wasn't in my draft guide. And I just started laughing because there's just
he was one of the deep cuts that came up where like, sure, it's like, no.
Yeah, no way. Two-way undrafted guy.
An Exhibit 10 guy.
But those are cool. That's why the drafts is that's why we love the draft. Like, we're like, awesome. The guy's doing a backflip, probably jumping into a pool somewhere right now. Like, that's awesome stuff. So, yeah, that one was a wild one. Yeah. I was like, what? Okay, here we go. Now it's a party. All right, let me see.
What's your next one?
I have, I guess I had Atlanta for multiple, but I had the Kenny Powers. I feel 10 feet tall right now and as strong as an ox. I put the OKC Thunder and the Atlanta Hawks. Sorber to the Thunder. Just chef's kiss. Perfect.
Is he going to be healthy enough for summer league?
Who cares?
Well, I do. Check ball. I'm going to be there and I'd like to see him play.
I don't know. I would say no.
Yeah, I'm kind of doubtful on it.
I would also say if I was OKC, we'd be like, Thomas, you're not playing.
Yeah.
We'll see at camp. What else you got?
What makes you think
I just can't think of anything worse than like if you're just getting over that injury. Like, hey, do you want to play summer league? What happened? What happened?
I was playing my clip. I was setting up my next award.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
God.
turn me into a newt. A newt. I got better.
Movies you're quoting. What is this?
Have you never seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Oh, I have. I haven't seen it in a minute.
So, what makes you think she's a witch? Well, she turned me into a newt. A newt. I got better.
So this one goes to the draft where it's like at first it's like, oh God, what was that? But if a couple things go right, we get better. And it looks pretty good. This was the one where the Pelicans has an honorable mention because the talent with Fears and Queen eventually, like in the long run, it could turn out to be an awesome draft. But right now, it's looking like a newt. But the winner, the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, what are we doing? Yegor Demin, Nolan Traore, Ben Seraph, Danny Wolf, Drake Powell. I really like one of those players. I like a lot of those players and almost none of them together.
That was the Nets?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a tier for the, I had a superlative for the Nets, which was if you draft one more point guard, we might start the draft over.
Who hacked the Nets?
We might quit and restart the draft on 2K. I get it. It's a newt. I'm
worried whether or not it's going to get better, though.
You know what it is? I hate saying this. I think it's the Traore pick.
It's the trio of them for me.
No, I think I could be fine with what they did. Like if you went any other position with that pick, you went two bigs or two wings, it's the Traore pick. Cause I could get you going, hey, we have Ben Seraph, a jumbo sized playmaker. Yeah. We have Yegor who could maybe be a wing. Like I could see you saying that. Like we get positional versatility from Yegor, still another. Then you get Danny Wolf. It's like, okay, I get it. Drake Powell's the defensive one. Then I get to the where does Traore fit here? Because I get it. All these guys have high feel point guards, floor generals. There's one guy that dribbles up the ball. There's one guy that's running the show. Who's it going to be? So,
oh, and like.
And the Michael Porter Jr. trade. Don't get me started there.
I kind of like the 2032 unprotected first.
Oh, I love that one.
But
get you looking up like, how old Jokic is.
They were bottom of the league in secondary assists. They were towards the bottom of the league in that, and towards the bottom of the league in overall assists. So I don't mind bringing in multiple ball handlers and playmakers, but three of them. All of whom have major shooting concerns and physicality concerns with two of them. That really worries me. And all three of them have major defensive concerns as well. And it's just a lot of the same. And it wouldn't shock me if one hits. You know, I'm probably the most optimistic on Yegor hitting. I really like Seraph. Traore, I have a lot of questions about. I love the Danny Wolf pick. Makes a lot of sense. Even the Drake Powell swing for where they took it, like his offense needs a lot of work, but the defense, the athletic tools, and if you buy into some of the offensive stuff, cool, fine, whatever. It's the end of the first. You take the swing. But going three point guards and four guys who have like major, major all-around offensive concerns, kind of tough for me.
I get it. It's just also like, I would have preferred one of those picks to have been like someone else. Like I'm not trying to just because I love Nate Clifford, but like if you swap Traore for Nate Clifford, I'd be like, man, I really like what you built, what you did here. You get an upper, like, you know what I'm saying?
So Kaspers was the next pick after Traore. Would you rather, if they would have taken Kaspers instead?
Backflip?
Yeah.
Because I think Kaspers gives you, I could get him on the ball or off the ball. And that one would have just been like, screw it. The value is fantastic. And maybe they felt that way about Traore. It's just, I don't know if there's a lot of versatility there. So the Traore one looks like you're like, okay. Yeah. I don't know. Go ahead. Sorry. What were you saying?
No, that's all I got.
I mean, what would you have rather done?
Not those three.
No,
guys.
Give me a name.
I would have taken Kaspers over Traore. Even if they would have taken like a Will Riley swing there, I think I would have liked that more. Asa Newell, I would have liked a lot more. Ugo.
Asa would have made a lot of sense. If like, you, like
Ugo, that's Liam right. McNeely, yes. Those guys would have made a lot more sense. Rashear Fleming would have made more sense.
If you left that draft with Yegor, Asa Newell, Seraph, and Danny Wolf in the first round, I'd be like, ooh, you're cooking. And Drake Powell.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you're cooking a little bit here. Like, you dipped your toe in every position to try to be like, hey, we're either going to get a hyper-productive energy big or a playmaking big, defensive upside wing, and backcourt help. I'd be like, okay, there you go. You're building a roster. You're throwing pennies in every well right now. But just going all in on one seemed like you're just saying, well, we're at least going to figure out one position.
Yeah.
And
they very easily could.
Because it'd be awesome. Because it could be awesome basketball.
Those three guys have a ton of upside. But I also think a lot has to go right. Like, a lot has to go right.
And if it works, it's going to be some awesome basketball because they're all high vision guys. So it could just be like, this is great. Ball's moving. The Danny Wolf one on top of all of it also convinces me that they were going to take Yank. They take Hanson Yank. Mm. Yank Hanson, whatever you want to say. Okay. Everyone's doing it different ways. So we need to, someone put out the final verdict. Is it Yang Hanson or Hanson Yank? That's all I got.
All right. Do you have any more superlatives?
You know what? Oh, I just had to quote one of my favorite baseball movies, "We Don't Suck Right Now," which was the Phoenix Suns. For Love of the Game, shout out John C. Riley. I think that's all I got, Metcalf. We named everyone really that we have. Did you have any other ones?
No,
I put the Orlando Magic in the our war room can't be on camera because we're ripping shots. Cause I think they're ecstatic that Jace Richardson fell to them.
Agreed. All right, let's wrap up with something that kind of fell through the cracks a little bit this year. But the stock game
for good reason.
Yeah, a lot going on this year. So apologies, folks, but I did update it, based on who got drafted for any of the guys that we had remaining that were from the last iteration. I just refunded our money and we just netted out based on whatever the last current price was. But Rucker, I beat you again. 3-0, baby. Yeah, let's go. So I made $2,000 in profit. You were at $1,500. Big one for me. I made almost $1,000 on Behringer alone, where I got him for $1 originally and ended up making $976 total. The Ace Bailey stock I probably would have sold off if we were able to update a little earlier. That was kind of my big loser. Fierce made a good amount of money on, and Carter Bryant as well. Your big winners down the stretch, Derek Queen, Walter Clayton was a big one for you. And Will Riley.
Who ruined me? Money Freeman.
No one.
I just really didn't make enough money.
You just didn't swing big enough. Like, the fact that I got 200 shares of Behringer at $1 and then sold them at $5.88 a share. It's kind of big.
This hurts.
That's tough. If it makes you,
I'm down 3-0 in the series.
If it makes you feel better, the No Ceilings Plus subscribers kicked our ass.
It doesn't make me feel better, but thank you for asking.
The winner of it made almost $6,000 in profit.
How? Okay, so for everyone listening, me and Metcalf have made it a goal that this offseason we're going to make this very, like, this is going to be an own segment. We're going to have graphics. We're trying to think about even having a little own, like, I don't want to say website, but we're going to make this a real thing.
So the winner,
too much positive feedback.
The winner,
$6,000,
$5,995.02. But he made over $3,700 on Behringer. He took 764 shares of him at $1.
So we're just, are we just doing this like cowards?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we got to be a little more aggressive. I think that's,
I think we have lesson. we have too many fish in the pond.
Yeah.
We're swimming for sharks. Yeah. We got to be going like, hey,
too much diversification in the portfolio. And
should we make a rule next year of like, have three at a time.
How dare you try and regulate me?
No, I'm saying like you can't be like, I'm going to buy 15 guys.
There should probably be a minimum share purchase.
I like that better.
You can't buy a share of a guy.
Yeah, because we both screw each other.
Yeah. it's like, just to keep him from you, I'm going to buy a share.
Well, because like I'll eye Derek Queen and be like, I can't afford a bunch of Derek Queen. I'll be like, give me one share next round. I'm going to sell my stuff and then buy Derek Queen stuff.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you to buy. So yeah, well, I think that's a good rule. It's like, it has to be 10 to 20 shares minimum.
Yeah. We'll play with it.
$6,000.
Yeah, you made $3,700 on Baron Show.
Me. Okay. I'm gonna 3-0. I'm down 3-0.
Yeah.
I gotta make a big comeback. And you know what? We don't do that all at once, folks. We go one at a time, one game at a time, one win at a time.
Gonna fucking sweep you.
No, man, I'm not getting swept. I'm all in next year.
Yeah, gosh. So I'll make sure that that prize gets shipped out to the winner who just and like the next like five people.
I'm gonna have a whiteboard. I don't want to hear that. I'm gonna have like a whiteboard when you send me the first one. I'm gonna be like writing out numbers the whole year. I'm gonna be beautiful mind status. I'm gonna be like, I'm all in. I'm winning this year. My first one will be buying Michael Brown stock and selling AJ.
Fuck, is he gonna be one at this point?
Oh, he looks so good.
He's cooking. And speaking of Mike L. Brown, keep an eye out over at NoCeilingsNBA.com. We'll have FIBA U19 recaps going up. I'm hoping to do a video on Mike L. and how dominant he's been tomorrow after their game, and then a week or so after. Have some more bigger picture U19 recap stuff, but Ignacio and Jam are for sure doing the U19 recap, and I'm hoping to kind of force my way into that and provide some thoughts as well. We'll have Summer League stuff. If you guys are going to be out at Summer League, come say hi. We'll be around. We got some potentially very exciting news for what we might be doing at Summer League. TBD, though. Could be fun. Should be fun. Fingers crossed.
Couple different ones we're working on.
We'll have some Summer League previews, recaps, off-season stuff, and stuff all throughout the summer. So stick around. We're going to be diving deep into the 26 class. Some really fun talent, especially at the top, and some really interesting returners given the NIL. So should be fun. Rucker, anything else?
No, I'll be having some video stuff coming from YouTube I'm pretty pumped about that. I'm going all in on that. I had to kind of pause the video editing or video making grind for YouTube. I'm bringing back tape time. I'm pumped about that. Metcalf has got me really motivated with his film school. It's been awesome to watch. Please go check that out. He's been kicking butt on that. And now that I don't have the draft guide to do, I'm like, yes, I have all this time. So, I think I'm going to start with Summer League stuff. So if anyone's listening, you want me to do a breakdown of any of your team's guys, just shoot me a comment. I'll make sure to get after it. I'm pretty pumped about that. I'm going to get dusty old cobwebs off, and I've got the tape time video. I was playing on loop the other day, my intro that I made, and I was like, all right, I'm pumped. Let's do this. So a lot of projects there. And yeah, hopefully working on some stuff, but hopefully we'll have some very exciting news to share with anyone. To the moon, year 5 coming up soon.
All right. Well, he is Tyler Rucker. You can follow him at Tyler_Rucker. I am Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me at TMetcalf11. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. But until next time, see ya.